Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. All this month, we'll be looking at What Manner of Love. Today's program will be Sign of the Times. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the love you bestow upon us every day. We thank you that you are love, your nature is love, and everything that proceeds from you emanates love. Thank you, Father God, that as we spend time in the scriptures, we see you clearly and it transforms us to be more like you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you can imagine from What Manner of Love, and that this is February, unless you're listening to it in the archives, we're looking at love all this month, and not as the world looks at it, although some of that's okay, but we want to see something in the scriptures about, we say the love of God. All love is God's love, and we all get little bits of it in different places at different times, but we want to look at the author of love, the one whose nature is love, who is love. And so, as I said, Sign of the Times, it kind of struck me the other day as I was walking into the drugstore and they had all these like hearts and flowers wrapped in silver foil, and kind of, I thought, well, you know, it's a little bit, what else was there? There was some, bouquets. I thought, well, it's a little bit early. It's still January to be buying these things, but they want to get people in the mood for that. And, but anyway, and they have the signs up, you know, to remember Valentine's Day, etc. But whenever I think about love and signs, those aren't the signs I think of. This may be a little odd sounding, but I always think of, like, in ball games, that there's always somebody out in the outfield with a big sign holds up and says John 3:16. And this always kind of catches my attention and makes me chuckle. And maybe they have their own reasons, and maybe it makes sense to them. But to me, it always seems counterintuitive. If what you want to do is convince people who do not know the love of God, that God is love, and that he gave his son that we might find him, writing a cardboard that says John 3:16 would not mean anything to those people, because it wouldn't mean any more than Ezekiel 3:3 would mean to them, or Genesis 20:25 would mean to them. Anyway, but for those of us who recognize and go, oh, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Most of the time, that means we already do know him, and we do know that he is love. So it always kind of struck me as kind of a little, I don't want to say funny sign, but, you know, it's great effort that maybe could produce differently. I think they should just write, God is love. But anyway, so, but the message, the scripture that's always in the card is John 3:16. So I thought we're going to start with John 3:16. Many of us started our walk with God with John 3:16. So it's a good place to go back to. And as you know, in this program, we don't want to just go over what we know. We want to see something a little bit deeper or a little bit differently in those same passages. So we're going to open our Bibles, of course, obviously, to John, the gospel according to John. Obviously, in this series, we'll get to John later in his epistle, because we know that if you want to know anything about the love of God, A, John is your man, and B, the first epistle of John is a gold mine. But we're going to turn to the gospel according to John, chapter 3. And I'm going to just read a little bit, and we just kind of close your eyes, unless you're driving, and try to just listen differently. We're going to just read it first, and then we'll go back. We're going to start with verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? And then 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, and you know, you may not have one of those Bibles, or if you're in the car or something, please know that every word I read was, quote unquote, red ink. These were recorded words of Jesus himself before his crucifixion. It's one thing for somebody to talk about it afterwards and say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that starts with, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus knew he was not talking, you know, we have these, you know, many years ago we used to have that little silly song, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see him. Well, this is not that kind of lifting up. Moses lifted up the serpent, the bronze serpent, as a sign of deliverance from the serpents around them. Jesus is saying this, and Jesus knows the context of John 3:16. And this, I think, we just start with that. The context of John 3:16 and the author of John 3:16 is Jesus. Jesus spoke these words, and the context of them is the foreshadowing of his crucifixion. So I think that adds a depth to it if we remember why he was talking about it and what he was truly talking about. Now, I'm going to read this also to you out of and there are multiple versions, and I'm not saying one is over another. The meaning is there. Everybody brings a little bit different inflection or a little bit different uncovering of the words. I just happened to be picking this out of J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament Phillips is one of the better Greek scholars. And, you know, we're listening to it. He writes it in a modern tongue, but he also has done his Greek work. I don't like somebody just translating it into a modern language and they don't necessarily give space to the nuances of it. Nor do I like people sometimes who are so buried in the immersion of all of the different nuances of the translation that sometimes we lose the flow. So we're going with Phillips. He's a good guy. Anyway, so we're reading those same verses. We start with about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that any man who believes upon him may have eternal. Oh, excuse me. He doesn't write in verses as such, so it's a little harder. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that any man who believes in him may have eternal life, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not be lost, but should have eternal life. God has not sent his Son into the world to pass sentence on it, but to save it through him. Any man who believes in him is not judged at all. It is the one who will not believe who stands already condemned, because he will not believe in the character of God's only Son. This is the judgment, that light has entered the world, and men have preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Everybody who does wrong hates the light and keeps away from it for fear his deeds might be exposed. But everybody who is living by the truth will come to the light to make it plain that all he has done has been done through God. Now, I'm not going to take a long time to go into the depths of these, but there's a feeling to this I want you to get. Some of it, I originally had not looked at this because I wanted to share something about the pronouns. But I want you to see a contrast that will develop here. Because what we, you know, the King James uses words like condemneth, etc. But he says not to pass judgment, not to pass a sentence on them, but rather that they not be lost, that they be saved. These words make a little more sense to us in the way, you know, for us to look at this and feel about it. And if you think about it, these things are contrary to the love of God. And so I just wanted to point that out, because there are people who will cling to the letter of the law, but you will find them to be very judgmental. You will find them to be, very condemning, very doesn't say that we're to condemn. It says they're condemned already because they fear the light. They hide from it. And so I just want to point out that sometimes people will call themselves Christian, an organization or a quote-unquote church will be so. But if we see a great deal of judgment there, then while they may know the name of Jesus, they are not doing their deeds the way he said, it be plain that all he has done has been done through God. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. We'll get back to it. Because I talked about the context. Well, maybe I'll just go into this now. No, I won't. So I want us to look at John 3:16 again. And I want us to read it. Well, first I'm going to read it the way we always quote it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want you to just kind of unhook for a moment. When we read it like that, our emphasis, the thing that we put the most force on, are the nouns. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? So I want us to kind of just dissect this for a moment And we put it back together, so you see I'm not going to be doing anything we shouldn't do. There is one phrase in there that I'm going to delete, not because I don't believe in it, but it's in one way repetitive when he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not perishing, having everlasting life, I'll say basically are the same. If you have everlasting life, you won't perish. So I'm just going to kind of remove that he should not perish. He will have everlasting life. Okay. If you see this, it breaks down into four phrases or four parts. God so loved the world, okay, that he, God, gave his only begotten son. Isn't that funny? Now I've lost my place. It shouldn't be hard to find that. And then whosoever. Now the reason I read Phillips is because said everybody and anybody. Whosoever is kind of one of those King Jamesy words that unless you're thinking in that. So we're just going to substitute everybody or anybody. Everybody who believes in him should have everlasting life. So those are the four that everybody who believes on him, all of them will have everlasting life. So those are our four phrases. Now, if you see, they divide in half. The first two have to do with God. God so loved the world, God, gave his only begotten son. The last two have to do with everybody, or the whosoever's, okay? That everybody who believes in him will have everlasting life. So the first two have to do with God. The second two have to do with everybody or anybody or you or me as we break it down more personally. Now, so we see that the first two have to do with God. The second two have to do with us. Now, what I'm going to do next is look only at, so we're looking at the pronouns. God so loved the world, he gave. So he loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The next two, anybody believes, anybody will have. Okay, anybody believes in him will have everlasting life. So we see the subjects of those two phrases are very, very clear. The first two are God, the second two are us. But now what I'm going to do is take out the nouns and we're going to look at the verbs. Now remember that verbs are the action words. You know, if I take you back to grade school grammar. Verbs are the doers. They're the action. And we know what the object of the act. Well, I'll take that first phrase. God so loved the world. Well, we know God is the subject. Loved is the verb. That's the action. The world. Well, we can take that off because the world isn't the emphasis on it for the moment. God so loved that what? He did what? Gave. The next verb is gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now we'll get to the other half of the verse. That whosoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So the first two phrases, God is the subject, and the verbs are God so loved, God gave. The second half are whosoever or anybody or us believe anybody can have. Anybody who believes in Jesus, anybody can have eternal life. Okay? So let's take it out of that, and so we're going to look at it. All the things that have to do, when you think about that, John 3:16 is really the bedrock of our life. You can take it. It truly is the sign of the times. And the times are any time from one century to another. That you can, the people who put those signs up in the ballparks are correct. It's the bedrock. But, you know, not everybody knows what it is. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That sums up you know, the basically the totality of our salvation, the totality of our hope, the totality of the sacrifice, the atonement. It is, you know, in a little nutshell, a formula, all that we have to say. You can embellish on it, you can add depth to it, but you can't go beyond it. God so loved, God gave, that anybody believe, anybody may have. All right, so we're going to look at that like that. The first two have to do with God. The reason I put it this way is it always starts with God. Again, I talked about being wary of places where they're very judgmental. I also want you to be very wary of places where somehow we start things. If you will confess your sins, God will forgive you. If you will do good deeds, God will let you into heaven. It starts with God. If God had not loved me, if God had not softened my conscience, if God had not presented the gospel to me, I wouldn't have even known enough to confess my faults, confess my shortcomings, confess my sense of condemnation. You understand what I'm saying? It starts with God. God sent Jesus long before I was even in the picture. You know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Jesus walked the earth for me. Maybe for everybody else and for you, but for me. God so loved that God gave. It starts with God. But it doesn't just end with God. Too many people want to feel like, oh, well, God loves me, so all is well. But there's another part to it, the part that I do. But let's get back to God's part. God so loved, he gave. Loving produces giving. If people say they love God and they never are givers, they don't have a generosity of heart, whether to God, to their neighbors, to the church, whatever it may be, if they are, pardon me this, but if they're stingy, that again, be wary of that, because God so loved, he gave. If somebody loves you and pinches pennies, and I'm not saying they should be a spendthrift, but and it doesn't always just money, but if somebody says, oh, you're my friend, but won't ever take your phone call, you know, they won't give you their time, they won't give you whatever. Loving produces giving. One of the things that I really love about our country, no matter what all is out, no matter what you see, you know, no matter all the demonstrations of hate and meanness and unkindness, when there is a disaster, when there is a problem, when there's a difficulty, Americans are generous, not just with money, but with their heart, with their compassion, with their empathy. God so loved, he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Amen? I'm going to say that one again, that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And that's, again, when if you find a church that they're always having to, you know, beat the band about tithing. The commandment of the Lord is that you tithe. If the only way people will give is because they feel they're going to be condemned, again, if they don't, or that they will purchase the blessing of God, give, and it shall be given to you. Well, you don't give so that it will be given to you. It's you give and it will be, not so that. And the other way is if it's the only way we can get people to give, then there's something wrong with our message. When people love, they give. God so loved, he gave. That is him. He loves, so he gives. He doesn't give to us because we're a nuisance. You know, the woman who went and made the clamor all night long so that the unjust judge would take care of her. God loves, so he gives. Now, look at the end of that. That sounds great. Because then if God so loved, he gave his only begotten son, then everybody is saved, right? Because God loves everybody. God gave to everybody. No. Here comes that second half. The the noun God had two verbs, love and give. So us, the anybodies, the whosoevers, the everybodies, the any, the everybodies, do what? We must believe. See, it's not enough for God to just love and give. We have to believe. I don't make it happen. I'm not saving myself because I believe. But if I don't believe, then I'm still lost. Is that not so? Isn't that what the scripture says? Jesus is giving us a formula here. God so loved, he gave, that anybody who believes may what? May have. God is in the business of people having. Remember when he talks when Jesus says, I am come, the thief, again, see, he takes away, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, destroy. I am come that they what? May have. They may have what? They may have life and life abundantly, but that they may have. Everywhere God comes into my life, I have. Where I had pain, I now have healing. Where I had sorrow, I now have. He has given me what? You know, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wherever there was anxiety, God has given me peace. Where there was loss, God has given me abundance. God, wherever God touches you, you have. If you believe, you have. You cannot believe in the love of God, the goodness of God, and your life not get better. Doesn't mean there won't be hardships. Doesn't mean that things won't happen. But even in the midst of it, isn't that, you know, what that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But that his rod and his staff, they comfort me, don't we? They're with me, and surely I will be with you. Emmanuel means God with us. I don't care what situation you're in, if God is with you. You know, remember Peter waking up Jesus. You don't care. We're in the boat here. As long as Jesus is in your boat, you won't sink. Amen. God so loved that anybody who believes, anybody can have. And so, you know, if you think about it that way, I'm not talking about the specifics. Yes, we can have everlasting life. We can have eternal life. But that's not all of it. Now, I want you to see this. God so loved, he gave, that anybody believe may have. So if the end of loving is giving, and the counterpart of giving is believing and having, what is the end of having? This part I love mostest of all. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians again lays the same, the whole book of Ephesians, just so God so loved he gave, and the second half, whosoever believe may have. Look at the book of Ephesians that exact same way. Chapters, there are six chapters, 1, 2, and 3, and they talk about what? God, what God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen? If you read the first half of Ephesians, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it goes on and on and on about all that God had done. Chapter 2 talks about you who were dead in times past, now has he quickened you, made you alive. Amen. Chapter 3 talks about according to his plan again. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 are the equivalent of God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God so loved, he gave. Now, chapters 4, 5, and 6 are the equivalent of anybody who believes may have. It talks about chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, you know, I beseech you that you do what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. You've already been called. It isn't that if you do good deeds, God will maybe pat you on the head and let you into heaven. God already took care of you in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But 4, 5, and 6 say now that you have been forgiven, called, blessed, gifted, endued. Now this is the way I want you to live your life. And so he talks in 4, 5, and 6 about how we live in this world. Amen. Children, obey your parents. It's well with you. Servants, be obedient, knowing whatsoever you do. Masters, live this way. Finally, be strong in the Lord. He's telling us how to live here. That's that anybody believe may have. So I did, as you may have gathered, I skipped chapter 5 because there's one verse in here, and it talks about it too. Be for followers of God. Walk in what? Love. As Christ has already loved us. See, walk in love because God has already loved us and has given himself. That reads just like John 3:16. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, offering and sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. And he says, but since you already have all that, you don't need to do these other things. Let no fornication or foolishness come out of your mouth. But live like saints would live. No silliness, no all these other things. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because on this comes the wrath of God. See, it's not words. But anyway, I want to read one verse to you, because we're talking about God so loved he gave, that whosoever believed, that's me, may have. Now, what do I do now that I have? Okay, so Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 talk about how I'm to live. And he says, and of course, I can't find it the moment I'm looking for it. Oh, it's actually in chapter 3. Four, I'm sorry. He says, this is how you live. You live like a new man, that like the Spirit of God that's in you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let bitterness, wrath be gone. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You've already been forgiven, and God so loved he gave. Now you forgive others in whosoever believe may have. Oh, I skipped one little verse on purpose. And this is what we're going to end with. Let him that stole steal no more. Well, maybe you didn't shoplift at the corner convenience store, but we still stole other things, didn't we? We stole kindness. We stole affirmation when we shouldn't have. We stole all kinds of things. Anyway, let him that stole steal no more. Boom. But it doesn't end there. And that's where a lot of, again, these churches that run by rules, that's the end of it. You don't steal now, so good, you're a good kid. No, he says, but rather, that rather means instead, let him that stole steal no more. But instead, you've got to do something else instead. See, if all you try to do to be good is not do some things, you've got to put something else in its place. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather, instead, labor with your hands the thing that is good. That means you've got to work, right? Work with your hands that which is good. Why? Because God can't provide for you unless you work? No. Your options are not just stealing or working. God can still provide. But the reason we work with our hands that which is good is why? That we may have, okay, so that having comes from God, that we may have what? To give. God so loved he gave that anybody believe may have. And since I have, then I will do what? Give. The end of loving is giving, and the end of giving is having. But the end of having is giving. God so loved me that I have a sound mind. I have opportunities. I have favor with men. I have a job. I get money. And if I don't get it from them, God provides for me. Now that I have it, what do? I love God, and therefore I love my fellow man, and I find ways to give to those in need. And then they see that same love of God, that God so loved that he gave through my hands. He has no hands, or our hands, to, with which to give them bread. He has no feet but our feet to walk among the almost dead. We say that we are his and he is ours. Deeds are the proof of these, not words. And these are the proving hours. John 3:16 is a blueprint. It's a format. It truly is the sign of all that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. I want to just draw your attention to one or two more things. Because I didn't just read that, did I? I read on down in John, but these also are the words of Jesus, that he that believeth on him is not condemned, and et cetera, et cetera. So I want you to see that he says that loving produces giving, and that so it sets in contrast death and life. Twice it says life, that you may have life, that we have eternal life, that we not perish, we have eternal life. There isn't judgment, there isn't condemnation, but rather, see, these are verses, they're set in opposition to each other. Death is set in opposition to life. Condemnation is set in opposition to salvation. He shall be saved, he won't be lost. Darkness is set in opposition to light. And evil is set in opposition to truth. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Okay, for God sent his son into the world to condemn the world. Did not send his son to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on him is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the God, Son of God. This is the condemnation. Light came into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be manifest, and that they are wrought in God. There is John, this passage in John chapter 3 sets up a contrast, plain and simple. There's no gray ground, there's no medium ground. There was death, but the Son of God, God so loved, he gave that we might have life. And as he says in John 10, life more abundantly. There is condemnation in the world, but in him there is salvation. There is darkness in the world, but in him there is light. There is evil in men, but in him there is truth. The sign of the times, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we have, that we may give to those who need. We are talking this whole month about the love of God. What manner of love? John 3:16, we roll it off our tongues, and yet we don't often see how incredibly beautiful the blueprint of our entire salvation is in there, and our whole way to walk. It starts with God. God so loved us that he gave us everything we could possibly need. Now, it is up to us to believe that we may have, and when we have, that we may give to others. All that we have because we have believed on his love. He so loved us, he gave. And all I have to do is believe in that love. Believe in that love toward me. And the way I prove that I believe in that love toward me is that I may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I've been called, not because it will get me one step farther into heaven, but because I have already been so blessed. The only way to say thank you is to love him as best I can. I hope that this word has been an encouragement to you, and my prayer for you is that this week you may feel the love of God surrounding you, grounding you, anchoring you, lifting you, that you may realize that God loved and so he gave. Not as a set of rules, but because what he's asked us to do will benefit us, be good for us. God so loved he gave. We believe that we may have. May you walk in his love this week. May you feel it. May you live in it. May it lift you, that we may know that we know that we know that the love God has for us will never cease, because it is who he is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week, where we'll look into another aspect of what manner of love. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone.